Now, you have your Bibles open to the book of Hebrews. We're going to read from the latter verses of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 32. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. May the Lord be pleased to bless His word to our hearts this morning. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, we continue in Thy presence, and again we seek Thee specifically, praying with thanksgiving, praying, O Lord, for the opening of our hearts to the Word. For Lord, we need understanding. We need instruction. And Lord, there are many times we need to be rebuked. Lord, bring that necessary correction and help to our soul. Lord, let us take these words of truth, and by Thy Spirit, may they be applied to our souls. Lord, I ask for help this morning to speak the Word of God faithfully and clearly. I might know the power of Thy Spirit upon me, so that those who hear may understand, and the Word would be so fastened to their heart that both those who are unbelievers would be convicted and brought to humble themselves before Christ in salvation, and then every true believer would be edified, built up, strengthened in our most holy faith. Lord, hear this prayer this morning. Continue to be with us now and bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Faith has been our subject for the last few Lord's days. We've been thinking about various aspects of this, and today I want you to think with me for a moment on this subject, faith that overcomes. I spoke to you about the admonition the Lord Jesus gave to the seven churches of Asia regarding them being overcomers and how they were going to do that. And as we look through this catalog of people in Hebrews chapter 11, this portion of Scripture that gives to us the great cloud of witnesses, again we are presented unmistakably and undeniably with the fact that these people overcame by the simple element of faith in their own lives, in their own hearts. Great cloud of witnesses that God has raised up, men and women who have made their mark in church history, and many of them are left to us in the very Word of God, some by a very lonely stand that they took for truth, some by giving out of themselves what they did not have naturally. But by God's grace and Spirit, they were able to leave for us an example, and by their example, you and I today draw from that very precious example. Some suffered great persecutions. Others had acts of valor that they are noted for. Others, some of them, suffered cruel mocking. I don't know if you've ever been on the receiving end of such a thing. Some of us may be mocked for one thing or another, and it's a little uncomfortable. But I don't know how many of us have gone through that which is cited here, cruel mocking. It's one thing the Lord cites for us as an example of persecution, an example of those who by faith have come through such things. Some were very common and ordinary people. Others were kings. Some witnessed times and tumultuous times, difficult times, hard times. Others were leaders and noblemen. Some of them were just common laborers. But whatever station in life they occupied, or whatever notable act they had accomplished, they all had this one thing in common. They were people of faith. Simply put, they were people of faith. And because they were people of faith, they are noted here, but they're not noted as exceptional. They are noted as often very ordinary. Now, you and I may not be able to relate to the great feats that they were able to accomplish. We did not, like Samson, close the mouth of a lion or Daniel. We may not have been like King David and led Israel to great victory over the enemies of God. Whether we have not enjoyed or had these acts of heroism, yet we can all say, if we are true children of God, we have faith in common with each one of them. Because faith that they possessed is the very same faith that you and I possess. It is faith in God. It is faith in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. A bit further back in the book of Hebrews, we are told that Moses, he rather suffered the reproach of Christ. And some would scratch their head and say, Moses suffering the reproach of Christ? How could that be? The Lord Jesus was not born yet. Ah, friends, don't forget they had the promise of the Messiah that was to come. And what they did in exercising their faith in that promise, they indeed had received that faith, the gift of God. And I want us to look this morning at a particular text. We find the phrase in verse 34, where it says, they quenched the violence of fire and escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong. Out of weakness were made strong. I want us to think upon that verse in this subject, faith that will overcome and persevere to the end. The perseverance of the child of God. But you know what strikes us from this text right off is this, that we are naturally very weak people. Out of weakness is the part of that text of Scripture. This is a fact, and we cannot escape it. The great cloud of witnesses, they are representative of you and I here today. Well, as a matter of fact, the representative of all saints from every age. But as it applies to you and me today, here we are in this congregation, in this time period, this era. And you and I must draw from the Scripture words, exhortation that's going to help us in our time of need. And when we think about it, if those people were weak, and yet they accomplished all that they did for the Lord as is noted here, you and I need to see our place in the position with the children of God in the Church of Jesus Christ. And in that we have in common with them. Because as they were naturally weak, the fact is that you and I are also naturally weak. This is our point of reference, that which we have in common with them. It was a consequence of their relationship with sinful Adam, and you and I fit that bill as well. Their weakness was because of the sin that is part of our nature. Adam would not be said to be weak before he had fallen into sin. He was strong because his communion with God, his relationship with God, his knowledge of God was perfect, true, it was straight. It had not been corrupted or bent, twisted because of sin at that initial stage. But you see, since the fall of man, all of the liabilities, we could put it that way, of our sinful nature, why, they are upon us. And they were upon all of these people in Hebrews chapter 11. What are those limitations? Limitations of our intellect. Limitations of our physical ability. Frailty of self. Susceptibility to sickness and disease, and a host of other things. We could list many of them today, but we know this for fact. We are very weak in ourselves. Some folks might look at a man like Samson. They say, well, he's listed here, but he was not actually physically weak. He was a very strong man, and his strength was something very specific, as God had given him that physical strength. And yet, where was the weakness of Samson? Friends, it was the weakness of his unrestrained lust, passions. And those unrestrained passions that Samson had, why, it finally took hold of him. And it led him down a pathway of which there was great discouragement, disappointment, and eventually the demise of that man that is recorded here as being a man of faith. What do I mean when I'm talking here about weakness? There's many in the congregation even here. You may be and you may have a degree of strength in your youth. You may be physically strong and you feel that strength of youth and vitality, of good health that many of us enjoy. And yet, friend, when you think about it, you have yet great weakness. Being part of Adam's sinful race, do not deceive yourself into thinking that you are stronger or better or greater than really you are. We must take a very clear and close view of our own humanness. Because if we don't understand who we are and our own limitations, why, we will be caught off guard. Intellectual ability. You have your faculties. You can express your thoughts clearly. You're able to understand certain things that maybe others of us in the congregation cannot understand academically or intellectually. You may feel yourself very strong to match intellect against intellect with anyone else. And yet, friend, you have to be careful that your limitation may come to you as a very great shock and surprise. Because in order to test how strong you really are, you must pit yourself against the strongest opposition. And when that is the case, and any one of us come to stand against the accuser of the brethren, the one to stand against Lucifer himself, you will find just how intellectually inferior you really are. How that mentally or emotionally inferior we really are. None of us are able to stand against the power of that one. And you know, it's a foolish thing for us to deny it. In fact, when someone stands and promotes themselves or their own ability, as a believer, you look at them and you say, well, friend, I'm afraid you don't fully understand. You have not come either to the light of life and truth in Christ, or if you have come, you're very immature in your faith and you really don't know. You haven't come yet to see your own great limitation. An unsaved man, while he is filled with pride, and the idea and the concept of admitting weakness or of accepting that I have failed and I'm totally responsible is really a foreign concept, not something welcomed. This is often where, when we see fierce competition and a competitive spirit, where it finds its origin. For to suffer defeat is really evidence that you are not strong, or you're not as equipped, or not as prepared, not able to endure as the next person was, and therefore you're naturally weaker. One of the greatest dangers we face as Christians is either not being aware of our vulnerability, or to live in such a confident manner that we think we are strong enough to withstand the temptation. If you live in this deception, friend, if I live in this deception, we will most certainly fall in sin. And the consequence will be shame and disgrace upon our own life and upon those who are around us. And my friend, the Lord will not allow us to continue in a puffed up sort of self-importance or pride. He will eventually bring us to the point where we are humbled. And as we are humbled and brought down, the Lord intends to do it so that we will note this truth, and we will have the fact of our weakness, and we will not deny our weakness in any dimension. We will be open and honest to the Lord and say, Father, I know my limitation. I know that I am weak. I know that of myself I have no strength. This is a very important thing. But look, note also what our text tells us is that we are strong when we are most confidently assured of our weakness. Out of weakness we're made strong. I draw your attention to the word made. This is an activity that is outside of the individual. If you are made something or made strong, that means someone else is doing the strengthening. Someone else is doing the helping. This is an activity outside of the person. This is a strength given by another. And by the context and content of our chapter, it is obvious that it's supernatural. It's coming from the Lord. It's coming from outside of us. And when we know this, when we really take it into our heart, what does it do? Why, it leads us to a dependency upon the Lord. We are not strong in ourselves, for our sufficiency is of God. Isaiah 40 and 31 says this, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. Friends, it's because the Lord is the one who renews our strength. He gives us that strength to enable us to run, even to soar. And oh, may God's grace be ever upon us, friends, that we see it is not of ourselves. We are weak of ourselves. We're even weak of ourselves to resist the devil and to overcome him. And the flesh is not up for this. We are not able. When we admit our weakness, we admit that the enemy is stronger and the foe more fierce, more intelligent, more able to cause fear. And all of this leads us to depend upon the Lord for our strength. Friend, I bring you to that today because faith that overcomes is going to be faith that sees its resident power is in the Lord Himself and not in ourselves. Oh, the glorious sufficiency. Now the apostle was able to say, when I am weak, then am I strong. Friend, note that when we find and realize and admit and take it in, Lord, I have nothing to offer. I have no ability that is resident within me. All that I have been given by the Lord. And Paul says, everything therefore you have received, therefore why do we boast in it? We have nothing to boast in. Friends, we have only to glory in that which has been given to us. You know that today, friend? Have you proved it? Have you come to admit that truth? When I am weak, it is then I am strong. And this is where we must rest in. Do you rest in your own ability, friend? Do you boast in your own goodness, your own ability to do things? No. No, friend, acknowledge this, that you are nothing in self. And it's only in Christ that we are able to be an overcomer. The branch, when it is severed from the trunk or the vine, it has no life. It is only when it abides in the trunk of the tree, it abides in the vine, that it has life, because the vine is the source of the life. And when we abide in Christ and when we acknowledge this, it takes away from us a foolish independence. It takes away from us a silly type of thinking that I can do this on my own. No, I need the Lord every moment of the day, friend. I need Him for everything that I do and hope to accomplish for Him. God's grace sustains us. And so, yes, friend, there is the truth of our weakness, the foolishness of denying that fact, and the knowledge that we are made strong by the Lord. But how? How does the Lord supply this strength to us? Turn your eyes back to verse 33 of Hebrews 11. For we are told there, who? Through faith. Who through faith? And then we have the people and their accomplishments. These people were not superhuman. Don't get the idea that Old Testament characters or New Testament people had something different than you and I have access to. No. All the disciples and apostles, they were common men. They were common fishermen. In fact, the very Savior was despised because is not this one Mary and Joseph's? Is not he the carpenter's son? Is not he one from Galilee? What prophet ever came out of Galilee? Was the accusation made. And so, friend, the Savior had the same abuse hurled at Him. But the truth of all those disciples whom He called and raised up, they were ordinary characters. They were ordinary people. These promises that were given to the Old Testament saints, they had the promises of the coming of Christ, and yet they were able to do great exploits accomplished by them, even when they were outnumbered without the equal equipment. They were outmaneuvered. They were weaker in so many ways. And yet they obtained this victory. How could it be that they were able to subdue kingdoms as Joshua did? He did it by the command and the word of God. And as they stuck to the Lord's word, as they obeyed Him and went forward, why they were able to accomplish great things. How could David overcome the giant Goliath? This little stripling of a boy. It was by faith. That's what the Lord tells us here. It is not because David was of some super skill or because he had a little bit more bravado than the next guy did. No, that's not the reason. David went forward in the strength and power and might of God. He went forward by the faith of the Lord. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who endured fire? They came through the fire, and they did so by faith, because they were not going to surrender and give in to Nebuchadnezzar and bow to his image. The commentator David Dixon said this on this portion: "Neither fire nor water, nor man nor beast is so strong, but faith may make a weak man victorious over them all." Weak man victorious. I'm happy about that. I'm actually encouraged about that. Because this weak man is able to find confidence and strength that is not my own. And I will stand only by the strength of the Lord. Ah, look back to the time when King Asa was faced by an army that was twofold the size of his. The Ethiopians came against him in 2 Chronicles 14 and 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord, his God, and said this: "Lord, it is nothing with thee, whether to help with many or with them that have no power." And then he says, "Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee." Judah, outnumbered 2-1, and yet Asa knew that his only hope was in the Lord. And so, friend, if we think we're outnumbered a lot more than 2-1, that's for sure. There is great evil and great iniquity that's pervading our city, our province, our nation. And we as God's people must band together, and we must pray together to the God of heaven. And we would, as Hezekiah did, spread the letter of a Sennacherib against the people of God. And as there are so many issues that come against the Christian in this day, we must take these matters earnestly to God in prayer. We must seek Him and pray, "Lord, we need a great deliverance. Turn back the evil and promote and bless that which is good." And our stand for truth, the truth of God's Word, though we be outnumbered, friend, let our confidence be very clear and firmly cemented in Him. For He is able, the Lord is able to save, whether by many or by them that have no power, those who are few in strength. One shall chase 1,000, and 2 shall put 10,000 to flight. And though our infirmities be many, we must learn to glory in our infirmities. What a strange paradox. This is not of the world, friend. And ever when we think in our own minds that we can accomplish this, we can do this, come back again to that truth. We are unable. We are weak. Let us rather glory in our weakness so that the power of Christ may rest on us. That's the only way we're going to go through. It is through faith. Faith is that precious gift, the gift of God. It was given to us that enabled us to believe and receive Christ Jesus as our only Savior. It's faith that has been a shield to us, to protect us in the times in which Satan came with many of his fiery darts. And we will lift the shield of faith, and we'll be able to quench, to stop all the attacks of the evil one against us. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Friends, the faith that we have is not of self. It is the gift of God. Therefore, take that gift and use it to its full potential. It is abundantly clear from this chapter that it was by faith and through faith that the people of God were able to overcome great obstacles. And it is equally needful for us today for our faith to be strengthened and increased. And if you're asking yourself or saying, my faith is pretty weak today. Maybe you're saying that right now. So, Lord, I don't have much faith. And the faith that I do have, I feel is so weak. I find it so difficult to stand. What are we to do? How am I going to overcome? Friend, you must ask the Lord this simple prayer Father, increase my faith. Father, strengthen me where I am weak. And as you humble yourself, you will find that that is the very word that the Lord will use. And as he comes, then he will put that strength in you which is not of yourself. And you will be able to overcome, friend. We ask the Lord, when we do so, say, Lord, you must overcome my weakness. You have in your mind, perhaps today, some things that you think are impossible for you to do. Some duty that you know is the right thing, but your flesh really shrinks away from it. You say, I cannot even speak a word for the Lord. And you may feel yourself so awkward in a situation where you have some ungodly people, maybe, and they're joking or they're having fun and they're just promoting their way of life. And you think, I'm so weak. I don't want to speak. What do? You pray, Lord, give me the grace and faith and power to speak a little word for you. And when you pray that prayer, you will see how God opens the door. You will know how the Lord will make you an overcomer through faith, even if it starts in a very small way. Friend, don't say, I cannot do this, it's impossible, and then you give up even trying. No, no, you must set forward, going out in the power that is not your own. Maybe you've had the problem of some lust, something that's consumed your thoughts, and it takes over your mind, and you cannot seem to get the victory over that area. What are you to do? You must pray that God would strengthen your faith to make you an overcomer in that particular area. Maybe you have difficulty in your prayer and private devotions. Did I say maybe? Every Christian has difficulty to some dimension in that area. And for the Christian who thinks they are strong in that area, maybe you need to review, because perhaps you're just going through your reading in rather a perfunctory way, thinking you've got the job done and that's all there is to it. No, there is something more, friend, and therefore come and pray that God would help you to be faithful. That is true. But then we must receive strength from that. But if you've had difficulty in that area, then pray that God would strengthen your faith. Maybe you're struggling to give up what you know dishonors the Lord. And that's a tough one for us, because we may have had a habit of doing something for a period of time, and then the Spirit of God begins to touch our life in that area and bring conviction. This must be given up, must be stopped. And you think, wow, I've been struggling over that one, struggling to give up that which dishonors the Lord. Would you put that in the balance, friend, the glory of God, and yet the thing that you desire or want to do and the flesh glories in? No, let us give up that thing, and by God's grace and faith, let us go forward, conquering and to conquer and to be victorious for Him. Bring all this weakness to God and pray upon the promise of His Word, that you will be made strong for His honor, strengthened in your own faith. It is just that, you know, simple faith that will make you strong for holy living. You long to be of some use for the Lord in His kingdom and work. Then I say to you, attempt something for God by faith. And the more you attempt, the more you desire, the more He will strengthen you. You say, I'm fearful, I'm afraid. I don't want to step out in case some mocking comes my direction. It might not even be cruel mocking, but just any at all. Ah, friend, another person says, I'm afraid of dying. I'm afraid of coming to the edge, and I don't know what the outcome is going to be. Cast yourself upon Him. The Lord Jesus did not come to give us comfort while we are in fear of death, but we are told that He came to deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The Lord is able to make us an overcomer. We can be encouraged. The Lord has chosen this. He has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the mighty, and that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. Friend, trust in Him today. Let your confidence be completely in Him. And know this, that your faith is that the gift of God that enables you to overcome even through your great weakness. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Friends, as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, perhaps someone here today has had to admit you do not even have the very beginning of faith because you don't know the Lord. You wonder, how can I believe? What do I have to do? Simply humble yourself and where you're seated right now, call out to the Lord and pray that He will give you the very faith that you need to believe in Him. And as you confess your sins, you call upon the Lord to be your Savior. He will hear your prayer. He will come to your heart. He will redeem your soul. Child of God, if you also have to admit great deficiency in this area, then simply say, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. May God help us this day to enter into the joy of our walk with Him.